You're listening to the Mazingo Baseball Podcast. We're bringing in some of the best baseball minds you can find anywhere. I'm your host, Harold Mazingo. Before we get started, make sure you subscribe, give us a rating, share with your friends, do whatever you got to do so we can keep this train rolling. Now let's dive in. All right, welcome back to the Mazingo Baseball Podcast. This new season, we're going to be talking a lot about youth baseball, and our first guest for this season is Joey Friedman. So, Joey, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Harold. Pleasure to be on it.
Yeah, so Joey and I know each other a little bit here. We're kind of in the same area, and we've got to know each other the last few years through youth baseball. So it's a perfect segue to this youth baseball season we're doing. So Joey played at King George High School here in Virginia, and from there went on to Old Dominion University. And Joey, I'm going to let you tell the story from there, just the journey through just your next steps. You can tell us from there.
Yeah, so I went to Old Dominion in spring 2006. I was there, transferred to Florida Community College at Jacksonville. It's now called Florida State College at Jacksonville. Was there for 2 years and then transferred to California State Monterey Bay and finished up there. after playing there, I went on to play 3 years in the Pecos League out in New Mexico and Texas. And once I finished up my playing career, in the off season also, I was doing lessons, local camps, clinics. I was really fortunate to get tied up with a major league hitting coach by the name of Greg Ritchie, who years and years ago did a winter hitting camp, and which has just been a phenomenal mentor to me in coaching and put me in contact with a lot of other great coaches that I've been able to learn a lot from, and started coaching assistant coaching at Mountain View High School in Stafford County, where I did that for 5 years. Got to coach under Craig Lopez, who is another phenomenal coach in this area that's been coaching for decades and coached a number of college and professional and a couple major leaguers. And Then from there, I coached at my alma mater, King George High School. I coached the JV team there for 2 years, and took some time away from that to do some travel teams. I've coached 9U, 10U, 11U for the last 3 years or so. So been able to coach all different ages, different styles as private instruction, group instruction, team setting. So a lot of different areas of the game, and being able to give back and coach. And it's a real big passion of mine. It's something I really enjoy doing.
Yep. Well, nice. Well, the game of baseball is a lot better with people like you in it. So we appreciate you, Joey.
My pleasure.
Yep. So we're going to dive in here now. One of the things that you've been pretty outspoken against, I guess, over the last, I don't know how long, but I've seen it a lot more recently from you, is the issue of pitch counts in this travel baseball circuit. I'm going to let you kind of take over from there and just tell us about what you're seeing and I guess your gripe with it and all, and let's dive into it.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty crazy. There's no true restrictions in my opinion, when it comes to travel ball. You're seeing arm injuries every single year at the highest level, right? And everybody's trying to put their finger on what exactly it is. And I would think of throwing a lot in a short amount of time probably has something to do with it, and treating young kids worse than you would treat a grown man probably has something to do with it. So, I don't know any other area of baseball other than youth travel ball where you can cram in 6 to 7 games in 2 days, and it just be looked at like it's normal. And when you're looking at these pitchers and you're looking at the pitch counts, if you go on Game Changer, sometimes I get stuck down rabbit hole and I'll look at some of these teams, even and I just stay locally. And in 1 weekend, you could see a 7-year-old and throw 130 pitches in 1 day. And people think it's the craziest thing in the world, and it happens every single weekend. I found one day where a kid, again, a 7-year-old kid, game one threw 74 pitches in 2 innings, and then they brought him in the second game, and he pitched another 37 pitches in game two, so 111 pitches in 1 day. And then 2 weekends before, he had thrown 130 pitches in 1 day. That kid's not going to have an arm in a couple years, and unfortunately, the kid's pretty talented. But when you have no barrier to entry to be a coach, and a lot of these coaches are probably doing the best they can, and they just it's just ignorance, unfortunately. They can blow up a kid's arm because the restrictions really on innings on a lot of these travel tournaments, where because that's what they'll come back to me and say, oh, well, the kid and this 7-year-old was within his innings. It might be, I don't even pay attention to it because it's not legit to me.
Yeah.
It might be
Hey,
like 6 innings a day or something. Well, he
not to
pitched.
interrupt, but I do want to jump in with this. So you and I both share a similar disdain, I guess, for the way travel ball is currently being done. I think that's a big reason why you got involved, and that is 100% the reason why I got involved. I have been not, I don't want to say anti-travel ball because travel ball can be a very good thing, but I've been anti the way travel ball is currently done for a while and just kind of got tired of sending that message out and just falling on deaf ears. People are going to play travel balls. You can't really fight that, but so much. But my idea was to get involved and try to blow it up from the inside out. And one of the things that you and I have talked about is your teams were following the pitch smart. I don't know what you call it, pitch smart
Yeah, pitch
guidelines.
smart guidelines.
Yeah, that Little League puts on. This stuff that USSSA does, and I hope someone from USSSA listens to this and we can start having this conversation to change this. But this innings requirement or limit when you're playing the weekends like you're talking about now is just ludicrous. Like it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It's already dumb enough. And like you said, parents are completely ate up with this stuff because they don't know any different. But
They don't,
play
and the
five
coach.
games in 2 days is just nuts. Like it makes no sense. And then to put an innings limit where you said kids are throwing 70 pitches in 2 innings. Okay, cool. You still got 5 innings left between Saturday and Sunday afterwards. So you could potentially throw 400 pitches on the weekend. It just makes no sense. But I'm glad, very, very, very glad that there are teams like what you have had the last few years that were following the pitch smart guidelines, which make a lot more sense.
And the pitch smart guidelines, they're backed by Major League Baseball. It's Little League uses them, but anybody's open to go onto the website, and my understanding it was created by experts in that have been studying arm care for years. And is it perfect? No, it's not perfect, but it's something way better than the quote restrictions that you'd have in some of these travel tournaments. And we follow them probably even more conservatively than you do too, I know, because we've played each other. Is if our 10-year-olds are, I think the requirement is like 75 or 85 pitches, we don't rarely even go over 65. And a lot of times if you're just doing a double header, and you're trying to do it the right way and develop every single kid as a pitcher, in my opinion, I think that's the right way. Now, obviously, you don't put a kid in there that is going to fail and is going to embarrass himself, and that's not going to be fun for him or anybody. So, you know, you do the bullpens at practice every single time and try to build them up, and when they're ready for the game. I like to try to create some sort of standard. Hey, once you can get here on the bullpens, you can throw 7 out of 10 strikes or 6 out of 10 strikes in your bullpen or 12 out of 20 or something like that, then you're ready for the game. And that gives them something to strive for instead of just telling their parents, oh, no, he's not ready. Hey, we actually have like something to go off of.
Now you're talking about developing pitchers, and that's kind of that's kind of been something that people don't really want to do. They'd rather just, you know, take their good arms and let it ride, go win a stupid trophy or plastic ring on the weekend, you know? Like, that's not the way travel ball is supposed to be done, Joey.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, it's – once you can get that whole team of pitchers, then the tournaments aren't that bad, and you can get through them. But, you know, my thinking is why they do the innings limit, and it's a, hey, what do you mean? We care about the kid's arm. We have an innings limit. But then when you really get into it, they don't, because you could throw 200 pitches in an inning, because there's no limit to how many pitches, right? But I think they know that if they were to go by the Pitch Smart guidelines, they would not be able to get through a tournament, and teams would have to forfeit, because we came really close with our 9U team last spring. They were in the spring, they went 0-13. They lost every single game. I knew that there was some talent there. There's some athletic kids there. We just weren't there yet, but they went out there and they busted their butt in practice, and they had a blast, and they developed a love of baseball and with each other, which is kind of crazy to hear going 0-13, but everybody was excited to come back in the fall. That was, you know, I think ready in that place of travel ball to come back in the fall. You know, there was a couple times I was like, okay, it's either go against these pitching standards or you're going to have to forfeit. And I don't know what it was, but a kid just pitched above what I expected and then was able to carry us through a game, and we never had to forfeit. But there's a couple tournaments, and we didn't do a bunch of them, but one of them said that if you forfeit a game, that we have the ability to tell you you can't ever come back. But I'll do that over risking a kid's arm. I mean, it just there's just nothing to gain from it. These 9, 10, 11-year-old years is completely about them developing a love and a passion for a game, learning the fundamentals, and setting them up for, you know, years of baseball. And then whatever happens high school and after that, you know, who knows? But if you want them to, if you're trying to get them to peak at 9, 10 years old, that to me, that's just not what this is about. But I, you know, I really think that the quality of the tournament would be very, would really hinder if they added this Pitch Smart guidelines, because you're going to need the whole team to be able to pitch. And the way there's so many travel teams out there, they just can't do it. And it also takes the, you know, you got to, it's a blow to the ego. You're going to have to take a lot of bumps and bruises along the way if you're going to really follow these guidelines.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, look, so, you know, I've got three teams in our baseball teams in our organization, and I coached two of them this past fall, and the two teams are set up very differently. The one lacks a little bit of pitching. So, yeah, we went to weekends where pitching was a major struggle, and unfortunately, you're put in situations where you're either going to, like you just said, you're either going to follow the UCCA guidelines, which I'm not willing to do. Or you're just going to have to roll with what you got and be willing to not have a very successful game or two.
Yep.
So,
and potentially forfeit, which, whatever. At the end of the day, nobody's going to remember.
Yep.
Nobody's going to remember 3 years from now that you forfeited a 10U game in a tournament, but you did it for the right reasons, right? You weren't quitting. You were doing it because, hey, we got to protect these kids' arms.
Yeah, and
this
look,
is a big issue.
Yep.
We got to.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, look, and one of the things too, and this is why I'm so thankful for people like you, and this is kind of all of this that we're talking about, is how you and I really connected a couple years ago and really have built this bond that we have now. But us playing these double headers the way we've been doing it, kind of getting back to the way travel ball used to be back in the day with the AAU style approach, which I think is a much better option. I don't even know if it's still a thing anymore, but it was a much better system, in my opinion. The teams would just go find other teams to play, and you would play double headers and round robin with three teams and that sort of stuff, right? And what it does is it allows you to get with the other coaches and kind of do whatever you think is best for your teams, right? So there was games where, okay, we're kind of out of pitching, right? And we're not getting outs. Okay, we'll just stop the inning now, and the other team can go hit.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, we've played a team this fall where they ran out of pitching, and you know the score was what it was. We were beating them pretty handedly, and we had gotten several bats in. And by the way, this is the same team that went 0-13 in the spring. Now we're beating teams to the point where we're going to give up half innings. But we say, okay, well, I have three more guys I'd like to get on the mound. Can we just go 9 outs in a row and we'll just wipe the bases after 3 outs? And he was like, yeah, that's fine. I mean, his guys are getting more ABs in. My guys are getting more reps on defense. They had already gotten a ton of ABs earlier in the game. And now I'm getting all my pitching in. But you can't do that in a tournament style. Not to completely knock the tournaments, because there is a place for them, but in moderation, right? So, like, I think you do more double headers, and you're able to do things like this. All right, I got all the pitchers got on the mound and got to pitch. We got a good amount number of ABs. We got quality reps hitting, fielding, base running, all that stuff. The guys got to develop. They got to have fun. They got to play a game. They got to be in their uniforms competing against the other team. And it was a doubleheader. Happened in 4 hours. One day, we're done. All right. And you can look at some of these tournaments. And I've seen three-day tournaments that they're, you're guaranteed. You're guaranteed three-day tournaments. You're guaranteed typically three or four games. Where you might get 7 to 10 at bats in those 3 games, where we could get that same number of bats in 2 games in a doubleheader, and it only lasts 4 hours, where you're spending your whole weekend, right? Well, those kids that did the doubleheader, they got to go to the birthday parties, they got to go to the barbecues, they got to go to the football game on Friday night, they got to do all that other stuff, they got to just maybe have dinner with their family and lunch and maybe just have a family day, where you don't get that when every single week you're doing these tournaments.
I know. And they're only kids once. Like, don't take the entire childhood from them playing baseball tournaments every weekend.
And then the worst part about it is a lot of them, I see it all the time. I've been doing this for now at this point, 15 years. On the private side of it, I've seen the kid that was just an absolute fireball at 8 years old that you know, there's certain kids you look forward to coaching because they just love it, have a passion for the game. And it's just fun. It's a little bit more fun to be around them. You know, you love them all, but some of them, it's a little bit more enjoyable to be around because if they have a love and passion for it. That 8-year-old that's just a fireball, and then you just slowly see that love and passion dwindle because they were running up and down the road every single weekend for 10 months a year. It's one of the saddest things because, you know, baseball's been such a big influence on my life to see such love and passion for it at a young age and see it dwindle is pretty sad.
Yeah.
But the double headers, back to your point, is I think that's the way to go most of the time. And because you're checking all the boxes that you want to check, and you can keep it local, and you find teams that, I mean, you're controlling it, right? Like, you can control, okay, there's certain teams out there that, you know what, I don't know if that creates the environment that I want my guys around.
Yep, absolutely.
And you can control who you invite back or what have you, where with the tournaments, you don't know what you're getting. And then sometimes you can go down, drive 3 hours away, and end up playing the team that's right next door to you too. So
Yep.
now I will say this, the tournaments are much easier. And somebody that's just getting started into this and getting into the travel ball world and doesn't have as many connections, it can be overwhelming trying to find the teams and finding where to look for the teams. It took me a couple years to develop a list of coaches and contacts where I can reach out to them and create an 18 game schedule of just all double headers. Because it's way more logistically, it's a lot more work. You're trying to find the team, you're trying to find the umpire, you're trying to find the field. When you try to sign up for a tournament, boom, it's all taken care of for the most part.
Yep, absolutely.
So it's a little bit more work on the front end, but to me, it's what's best for the kids, and they get the most out of it.
Yep. Hey, and one more thing I thought I should share. You were talking about like with the double headers and the pitching situations. The very first time you and I played each other, that was the first time I ever had a 10U team of my own. It was our first weekend together, and we were out there against each other, and you told me you had one more pitcher that you needed to pitch. And so you threw him back out. We threw another inning onto the game, right? And I said, that's perfect because I've got one more I need to pitch. So just those sorts of things are the things that can happen when you're controlling the environment like we're talking about right now. So yeah,
Yeah.
I thought it was a cool story to share. All right, so Joey, the one thing that we didn't mention, or you didn't mention, I guess, when you were giving your biography was that you were a catcher. You didn't mention you were a catcher. So we're going to talk
That's
about
right.
catching here.
The
We're going
best
to switch.
position on the field.
So you and I had like I don't want to say a debate. I guess you have to call it a debate. I don't know.
I think I know where you're going.
Little back and forth on the value of catchers in at the earliest ages, and I thought it was a complete waste of your best players. And you kind of told me that, man, you want your best players back there, and I was opposed to it heavily at first until I got out there my first weekend of minor baseball in Little League, and I said, oh boy, catching is the other pitching and catching are the two main positions we got to worry about here. So let's segue into developing youth catchers and why it's so important.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm biased, but I think it's the best position on the field.
Second
There's,
best.
yeah. So, it takes a special kind of person. I'll say that. I tell my kids when I start with them, I said, you gotta be a little crazy. There's a certain line of crazy that you have to be, and once you cross that line, you're officially a catcher. But it's a fun position. And if you have somebody that is helping the kids through it and is patient and is encouraging to get through, there's a lot of reprogramming of the brain of our just def our natural defense mechanisms to protect ourselves. And if you have somebody that can encourage a kid through all of that, it can be a great place for a kid to play. To me, it's some of the other positions can be boring to some kids. If you're just standing out there and you don't even get any action all inning, then you just ran out there and ran back for nothing. Where catching, you're involved in everything. There's just so many little details that go with it. Is all right, where's the hitter standing in this at bat versus last at bat, or what do I remember about this hitter from the last time we played them? What do I remember from this about this hitter the last at bat, and how he handled the pitcher the first at bat or second at bat, or all that stuff? And helping your teammates out, positioning them and yelling out what bases they're supposed to go to. There's so much that goes into it that there's no time to to daydream or think about anything else. And then there's the picking up your pitcher and picking up your teammates. And it's just, it's a great leadership position. There's, I haven't looked at it lately because it's anecdotally, it seems like there's been more position players hired of recently, but I know at one point in the major leagues, a lot of the managers were catchers, and because you got to handle all that stuff, that's managing. You know, I used to make a joke that the catcher's like the psychologist of the team because they got to deal with however many pitchers on your pitching staff and the different personalities and what makes them tick and helping them through their struggles and all that. Well, now you got a whole team. When you become a coach, you got a whole team of that, right? And whether it's the hitting side of it, pitching side of it, or any of it, you got to help your kids through. Well, if you were a catcher growing up, you had that practice for however many years you played. But yeah, even at the coach pitch level, now T-ball, I don't know if there's too much value in it at T-ball. Like, I guess maybe the first baseman throws it into the guy if there is one there, and then he hands it to the coach. But starting at coach pitch, I think it's very important to have a catcher back there and teach him the right things. And do you need your better player back there? No. And if you're trying to win games in coach pitch, which I, you know, that might be of value, you probably don't put your better player back there. But if you have a kid that's excited about it, put him back there and teach him it. And I've had several kids that, you know, fell in love with baseball because of the catching position. You know, so out of the three teams, we had 31 kids on between the three teams. 21 of them had interest and wanted to learn catching. So that was one of my big, like, bragging points of the organization is we had over two-thirds of the kids wanted to be catchers. But yeah, you know, even down to the coach pitch level where they get to practice catching the ball more. There might be plays at the plate. It's just it's another viewpoint the kid has of the game.
Yep. So, I mean, so we went to, or I attempted to last year at our coach pitch level. We had gotten away from using catchers, and I tried to figure a point of emphasis in coach pitch last year was to put a catcher back there. And that was mostly because, I guess I can talk about this. So for the last 2 years, we've done a coach pitch tournament at our local little league. And that's kind of where you and I really got connected at, when you brought your team there. And I just saw like the level of the catchers versus what we were dealing with. I didn't even want to put gear on the catchers. I was like, I just put them back there. And then just how important it was. I was like, oh boy, we got to play catch up now. So that's been a mistake that I have made at our local little league, but I'm rapidly trying to correct that now.
And then what was the coolest play of that whole first tournament?
Well, if you're asking me, it was a slide around the catcher for us to win that. But that catcher was impressive. Oh my goodness. That catcher was impressive from Caroline. I don't remember his name, but he was impressive. But he made the third baseman made a good play. It was bases loaded. He made a great play on the ball. He went to his left, fielded the ball through home, knew to through home. And the catcher came in, out in front of the plate, took the mask off, left a clear running lane. The throw took him slightly away from the from home plate, but it was still a decent throw from a 7-year-old. He caught it and then went to apply the tag. And our runner just kind of did one of those professional baseball slides where he got the hand, he slid late and slid the hand in late. So it was just around the tag barely. So it was kind of cool, but I saw that kid like pick up fielding almost like swinging bunts and just hose people out at first base.
Yeah. But man, so my point with that play is a lot more interesting, a lot cooler memory. Yes. because we had catchers back there and said, I don't even know how we would have handled that.
Had it been my team, my catcher wouldn't even known to have been there. He was back with no gear on. So, but no, it ended up being a really cool thing. And it's really that tournament, and then last year playing, handling kid pitch for the first time, and just seeing just how important that catching position is with all of the pass balls and just runners running around the bases. Just having someone catch the ball is a major, major game changer for teams.
Yeah, that's rough. That first season of kid pitch is always rough when you got kids learning how to pitch, kids learning how to catch, and kids learning how to hit off a live
Because of my mistake with not doing it earlier, it was their first time ever being experienced with catching. Mm-hmm. So it was a mistake on my part. We're correcting that now. But what about some tips or drills or whatever when the kids are starting out at 7, 8 years old and they're wanting to learn catching? What are some of the best things they can do? Their parents can help them do, their coaches can help them do, to sort of transition to the catching position. Thanks for listening to the Mazingo Baseball Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the channel so you can get notified when the latest episodes are coming out. Share it with all your friends. Leave us a review. Be sure to check me out on all the social media accounts. It's going to be at Mazingo Baseball. And check out the website, mazingobaseball.com.